This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I wake in the morning, I wait on the Lord, and I ask Him to give me the strength to do right by our country. And when I go to bed at night, I wait on the Lord, and I ask Him to forgive me my sins.
Why are we doing this? Why get in shape? The Father made your body, Jesus paid for your body, and the Spirit lives in your body, so you better take care of it.
There's going to be a lot of skinny people in hell, and the size of their body or their body mass index is not going to be the standard by which Christ judges people on the last day.
We have no business going up to Christ. He comes down to us. Where the sinner is, in the gutter, in the grave, Christ comes to us and gives us His grace.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, Issues, etc.
Well, the state may be small, but the consequences are always big whenever a state wants to redefine marriage. It's Massachusetts, many others. California is still struggling with this all the way into the high courts. There's a battle for natural marriage in Rhode Island. We'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about that. She's testifying in Rhode Island on behalf of those who want to defend natural marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse on the battle for natural marriage in Rhode Island, we'll talk with you, our listeners, a little audio open lines. There's a pastor who refuses to bless babies in church if their parents are not married. He wants to send a message about absent fathers, about unwed parents. He wants to send a message, so he's refusing to bless the babies in church if the parents aren't married. Now, there's a story from CNN on this, and we're going to play it for you during Audio Open Lines, and I want to hear what you say about it as well. Audio Open Lines coming up in a little bit. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of several books, including Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Doing well. You're headed out to Rhode Island. What's going on out there regarding same-sex marriage?
Well, the state legislature of Rhode Island will be holding hearings on the subject of same-sex marriage. The new majority leader there, I guess, has made it his top priority to pass same-sex marriage. They have a new governor who has vowed to sign any same-sex marriage bill that comes on his desk. Up until now, their previous governor had always vetoed such things. And so now they've got the advocates of same-sex marriage have two key positions in the state of Rhode Island, and they're planning to use it.
So essentially, it's a legislative priority on the part of the Speaker of the House there to make same-sex marriage legal in Rhode Island.
Yes, that's right. He's said that that's one of his top legislative priorities, I maybe his very top priority. I guess he's openly gay. I don't know. I don't track that sort of thing too closely. But yeah, it's important to him and his constituents, I guess. And so, you know, in spite of having a big recession and, you know, a war in Iraq and all these other things that we have to worry about, they want to worry about same-sex marriage. So those are their priorities. What can you say?
What do you plan on saying when you testify?
Going to give away all my marbles here, Todd. I mean, you know, do I have to tell you everything I'm going to say?
Just give us a synopsis.
All right. I'll give you a synopsis. I'll put it on the website when I get it done. I'm still putting the finishing touches on it, but basically, I'm going to be addressing the people who have already made up their minds to support same-sex marriage. I'm basically going to say to them, you know what? History will hold you accountable. That up until now, sex radicals have performed massive social experiments that have caused misery to millions of people, and no one has ever held them accountable. Well, I'm here today. way to hold you accountable for what you're about to do. And it's about time somebody said that. So the further disruption of the relations between mothers and fathers, the further deterioration of biology as the primary principle that we assign parentage with, all of the disruption that is going to happen as a result of changing the definition of marriage and the definition of parenthood, I'm going to hold you guys accountable for it. And I'll just go through some of the things that I think they're going to be responsible for.
The latest news is that there is a bill seeking a constitutional amendment to define marriage as strictly between a man and a woman there in the Rhode Island State House. Now, that's been tried in California, and we've seen the fallout from that. Do you think that this is going to just be kind of the last resort, the last stand, that those who want to defend traditional marriage, wherever they live, are going to have to resort to?
Yes, you're going to have constitutional amendments, and that's because of the aggressiveness of the opposing side. You know, in California, as you know, we had state legislation that that was brought by the people in the form of a referendum to say that marriage is a union of a man and a woman, and after that, the state of California passed very generous, very ample provisions for domestic partnerships. And yet that was not considered good enough. The gay lobby sued to have that definition of marriage declared unconstitutional. And that is the court case way back in 2008 that triggered Prop 8, what became known as Prop 8. And so, you know, we won. As you know, Todd, I never tire of telling people, the voters of California voted in favor of traditional marriage. They voted in favor of Proposition 8, and we didn't get to savor that victory for 5 minutes before our opponents dragged it into court. So, you know, in the end, it seems like it's going to be turned into a constitutional-level question whether any of us wants that or not. That seems to be where the whole playing field is moving. And so the proponents of natural marriage are going to have to be prepared to play on that field. What I don't know about Rhode Island, what I can't tell you offhand, is whether they have any type of initiative process or whether it has to come through the state legislature. What I can tell you as a general rule is that where the people can bring forth an initiative in favor of natural marriage, that's the way it happens, because a lot of times you have to sidestep the state legislators who, you know, who quite often are beholden to special interests a little bit more, maybe not as interested in it. But I think there are some very good people in the state legislature in Rhode Island, so I'm not quite sure what they have up their sleeve as far as that's concerned. You know, I'm all the way in San Diego, and I can't keep too close a tabs on it, but I know we have some very good friends in the legislature in Rhode Island, and some very good friends you know, within the state, and so I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to prevail on this.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, we elect these people to represent us. They should be the ones to vote on an issue like same-sex marriage.
Well, you know, we elect people to represent us on a lot of different subjects, but that doesn't mean that they're really going to do what we want them to do, or that they're really going to represent us in all ways, or that they're going to represent us adequately in the ways that are the most important to us. And over time, of course, we can throw the rascals out, you know. And in fact, in several states, we have thrown some rascals out, you know. A couple of state legislatures have been turned around on the issue of same-sex marriage, so it's not out of the question that can be done. The point is how the different issues link up in the public mind in a particular state. And as you know, the fact that somebody's been voted into office doesn't mean that you're going to be happy with everything that they then choose to do with the authority you give them. Witness the outcry over Obamacare. You know, I mean, a lot of people voted for President Obama very gladly, and a lot of people wanted some kind of healthcare reform. But that doesn't mean that everybody's delighted with what he came up with, you know, or that people didn't have the feeling that something was being jammed down their throats that was not really what they wanted. And, you know, so elections turn people out for all kinds of reasons. So I think that's all part of the political process.
Two quick final questions. How do you explain the urgency in these cases?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I ponder that periodically, because it does seem like the people who are in favor of redefining marriage are they're single issue people, you know, and they're absolutely adamant that this is what is going to be justice and fairness and goodness and light. And it's, I think, in the end, finally they think it's going to make them feel better about themselves in some way. Because if you really look at what is being said, if you really look at the sort of pattern of things that are being done and being asked for, I think there is a sense that the many people within the gay community think that somehow their personal dignity is at stake here. And I say that with reservation because and guardedly because I know that many people within the gay community do not think that. They are perfectly intact with their sense of self-worth, and they're not letting the voters decide whether what their human dignity is, and they're not letting the definition of marriage, you know, have to do with them and their personal worth. You know, and as you know, as I've said many times, that's not what it's about. For us, for our side, that's never been what it's about for our side. Now, it's always been about marriage and not about gays and lesbians. So, but I do think many people on the opposite side feel a kind of urgency for their own sense of well-being, and so that's why they put so much into it. The other reason that I think it's urgent is that they feel like they have their moment, you know, and if they have their moment and they can put something through that really is revolutionary, they can sit back and reap a lot of rewards, even if they get voted out of office next time, and even if things get shifted around in the future. The fact is, what they're looking to do is to change the kind of default setting for people in the society. Instead of the default setting being that kids need a mom and a dad, the default setting will be something else, you know. And so the default setting is being pushed further and further away from the idea that marriage is the proper place for both sex and procreation. And I think that's the core issue, and that's why I care about marriage so much, is that I think marriage is the social institution that helps to integrate our sexual activity and our childbearing and our child rearing into one wholesome, integrated, coherent package. And the sex radicals, the sexual revolutionaries, all of them, going all the way back to Margaret Sanger, they have all resented that and wanted to do away with it. And so I think if they feel like this is their moment, they're going to take it, and they're going to make whatever progress they can make and let the chips fall where they may. So that's the best I can do for an analysis of why the urgency.
When we come back, I'd like Jennifer's thoughts on National Marriage Week.
This is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A few more minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, her thoughts on National Marriage Week. In about 5 minutes, audio open lines for your comments on a story about a pastor who's refusing to bless babies of unwed parents in church. He wants to send a message. We'll hear the story from CNN. Then I want to hear what you have to say during audio open lines live this Wednesday, February the 9th, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your comments, your thoughts, your questions at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. That's coming up in about 5 minutes, audio open lines. Jen, before we let you go, your thoughts on National Marriage Week this week?
Well, National Marriage Week ends with Valentine's Day every year, and the National Marriage Week organization, if you go Google on it, look at their website, they're becoming a clearinghouse of information about marriage preparation programs, marriage enrichment programs, and so if you go and look there, you'll see a lot of different resources that you can find for just marriage education to improve your marriage and to see what's going on in your own community as far as marriage strengthening and marriage building is concerned. And we at the Ruth Institute are not quite in that business, but we do have a marriage promotion kind of program going on right now, which is our Real Love Video Challenge. And we're in the final week of the voting for the Real Love Video Challenge. So if you go to the RuthInstitute.org webpage and click on the Real Love Video Challenge, a page will come up that's got a YouTube viewer and about 50 videos on there, and so you can go, anyone can go and vote for their favorite videos. You just do like a Facebook like on the ones that you like, and that will help determine the prizes for these young people who have created pro-marriage videos.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You'll find a link to the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.